What if, in a world searching for signs of the divine, the greatest miracle was right in front of our face? What if Jewish history is the greatest argument for God? Several years ago, the synagogue in which I worked as a rabbi on Manhattan's Upper East Side suffered a terrible and tragic fire. Our sanctuary was destroyed, and it was right before the Jewish High Holy Days. We needed a location for our services. We were very graciously offered the auditorium of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I was apprehensive. I had marked this holiday since I was a child in a synagogue. And now here I was about to lead services in one of the most popular tourist locations in the world. On the first day of the holiday, I joined the throngs of t-shirt clad tourists standing out in my suit and my Jewish prayer shawl. I entered the great hall, intending to head to the auditorium, and suddenly I stopped. There before me was a 10-foot tall statue of a pharaoh, 4,000 years old, which had just been brought from Berlin. Originally created in honor of the pharaoh Amenemhat, it had been reconfigured 600 years later to honor the image of Ramesses II, Ramesses the Great, the pharaoh identified by many scholars as the pharaoh of the Exodus. I was looking at the man who was perhaps the first enemy that Israel had ever encountered. It was under Pharaoh in Egypt, according to the Bible, that Israel was first enslaved for hundreds of years. It was in Egypt, according to the Bible, that a tyrant worshipped as a god had first sought to destroy the Jewish people. It was in Egypt that Israel had first experienced redemption, and it was from Egypt that Israel journeyed across the desert to the locus of its aspirations, to the land of Abraham, to the Holy Land. As I stood in front of Ramesses, it struck me that the poet Shelley, who had also encountered a similar statue of the very same pharaoh, who was known in Greek as Ozymandias, and had been inspired to pen a powerful poem which described the image of a tyrant that proudly proclaimed, "Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair." And Shelley concludes, "Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare. The lone and level sands stretch far away." Here I was face to face with an enemy of Israel proclaiming his might, yet his empire was gone, and here was I, thousands of years later, about to lead services for the sacred day of my people. I left the statue behind and headed toward the auditorium, and as I did, I passed exhibit after exhibit, statue after statue, of tyrant after tyrant that had once bestrode the world like a colossus and then disappeared in a cloud of dust relegated to the ash heap of history. But only Israel endured. Our services began. Our liturgy for that sacred day focused on the hand of God in history and the role, the mysterious role, of the Jewish people in that history. I will never forget our prayers that day, for it taught me to see the history of the world through the lens of the miracle that was the Jewish story. In truth, one artifact from ancient Egypt best embodies this lesson. In 1896, the British Egyptologist Flinders Petrie excavated the ancient city of Thebes. There, he uncovered an enormous slab of stone known as a stele, which had been created by the son of Ramesses II, the pharaoh Merneptah, in order to recount his many and manifold military victories. At first blush, it seemed no different than many other monuments created by ancient Middle Eastern monarchs. But soon, Petrie discovered one word on this stele, which led him to conclude that it was the most important find of his career. Most of the stele focuses on Merneptah's battles in the Libyan region, but toward the end, it turns to the Holy Land, describing city-states that the Pharaoh destroyed: Ashkelon, Gezer, Yenoam, and then suddenly the following phrase appears: Israel is laid waste. Its seed is not. Petri realized that he had discovered the first reference to Israel outside the Bible, many years older than any other. Moreover, appended to the description of Israel was a hieroglyphic describing Israel not as a city or a place, but rather as a people and a foreign and nomadic people, as if Israel had arrived into the Holy Land from elsewhere. Petri, in other words, had found not only the oldest reference to Israel outside the Bible, but one which could very well be understood to help confirm the biblical account. But here is what even Petri did not realize. As others have noted, what Petri had discovered was a description of Israel's destruction, which means that the oldest mention of Israel outside the Bible is an obituary for the people of Israel. And yet, every other nation and people mentioned on this stele has long since disappeared, and only Israel endures. The Merneptah stele reflects what one will find in other exhibits from other empires, in museums and ruins around the world. In every location, one can find an obituary for the Jewish people. In the British Museum in London, in the Assyrian wing, an ancient empire trumpets its destruction of the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. In the Pergamon Museum in Berlin, one can find the great Gate of Ishtar of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king who exiled Israel from its land and destroyed the first temple. In the midst of the Roman Forum, one will encounter the Arch of Titus, celebrating the destruction of the second temple in 70 CE and the exile of the Jews and the temple treasures to Rome. Museum after museum, city after city, contains exhibit after exhibit, site after site, which proclaims the very same phrase: Israel is laid waste, its seed is not. And yet, only Israel endures. Obituary after obituary is found in museum after museum, and yet here I stand next to a recreation of the Merneptah stele in the Museum of the Bible, created to mark the enduring legacy of the Jewish people and of the Bible that Israel gave to the world. We live in an age that is searching for signs of meaning, of something larger than ourselves. Perhaps in order to find a hint of the miraculous, one need only visit a museum. Nothing beside remains. Only Israel endures.